Barton's, and no one in the Starry Night's crew had reason to believe any of them were younger than 19. Besides, John and his fellow Spartans were no ordinary 15-year-olds. At age 6, they had been conscripted into a top-secret program to develop bioengineered super soldiers. The intention had been to use them against a massive colonial insurrection that threatened to shatter humanity's young interstellar civilization. But priorities had changed when the Covenant appeared. That was the life of a Spartan. He went where he was needed, he didn't complain, and he killed whatever he had to. It was that simple. Deep down, John knew he had been wronged when he was taken from his family at such an early age, that he should have hated his abductors for robbing him of a normal childhood. But he didn't. They had molded a schoolyard bully into a soldier, then forged him into the leader of the finest fighting unit in the UNSC. He was grateful for that, and he was damn proud they had chosen him. When Captain Ascot did not acknowledge his point, John added, "We need a little warning before deploying, ma'am. Once we activate our rebreathers, we'll only have 90 minutes of air." "I'm aware of that, Petty Officer," Ascot said, "which is why this drop may be no-go. The mothership is on the far side of its orbit right now." This meant it would be hidden from the Starry Night's surveillance systems until both vessels were on the same side of the planet again. But that was hardly a cause for concern. The Starry Night had been observing the Covenant vessels for more than a day, and the mothership had never been visible for longer than 20 minutes out of every hour. "So, situation normal," John said. "I don't see the problem." "Orbital mechanics," Ascot said. "You can't just go faster and make the rendezvous. Try that, and your whole squad will end up flying out of orbit." "Right." John had studied classical mechanics in the physics courses during his third year of Spartan training, but that had been 5 years ago, when he was only 9, and he had been more interested in tactical theory than Newton's laws of motion. "We have to drop into a lower orbit and catch up, then sink orbits and begin proximity operations." "While staying hidden behind the alien spacecraft," Ascot said. "In their current orbit, it's going to take 70 minutes just to sink. After that, you still have to last through proximity operations, then sneak aboard and capture a 500-meter ship full of LGMs. LGM stood for Little Green Men, a slang term that could be traced back at least as far as the unidentified flying object reports of 1950s Earth. Because one of the Covenant species averaged only 1.5 meters tall, some analysts in the Office of Naval Intelligence believed the enemy might actually have visited Earth in the past. But John knew better. If the Covenant had ever been to Earth, it would be a glassed-over wasteland by now. "We can handle it." John hoped he sounded more certain than he felt. On the one hand, he and his fellow Spartans were the deadliest soldiers mankind had ever created. On the other, humanity had not even been certain that aliens really existed until the violent first contact with the Covenant. So there was no getting around it. At best, John and his assault squad were only somewhat prepared for what they were about to attempt. But he didn't dare admit that. If he wanted his team to fight with confidence, he had to project confidence at all times. When Ascot did not respond to his reassurance, John decided to double down. "Really, ma'am, we'll be fine. Spartans work fast." "Nobody works that fast," Ascot said. "Look, you'll have no more than a 15-minute margin. If anyone runs out of air during the boarding action, there's nothing the Starry Night can do to help." "I appreciate the concern." John did not let her caution shake him. The Spartan II program was so highly classified that even Prowler captains did not know the full capabilities of the super soldiers they ferried into battle. "But once we're aboard, rebreather time won't be a factor. The mothership's atmosphere should support human life. There's a big difference between should and will. The odds are with us. You've seen the intelligence summaries. Only one Covenant species doesn't breathe oxygen." "Only one species that Oni is aware of," Ascot replied. "We both know there could be a dozen more that breathe anything from hydrogen to cobalt. The UNSC has a lot to learn about the Covenant." "Yes, ma'am. That is the reason for the operation,"